Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Careful Clean, serving the Bay Area with exterior cleaning services, pressure washing, solar panel cleaning, and wood restoration services for residential and commercial clients. Careful-clean.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Later today, a federal judge will rule whether the city of Stockton can declare bankruptcy. As our Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow reports, the decision comes after a week-long trial, during which creditors argued the Central Valley City hasn't done everything it could have to avoid this juncture.
Stockton owes more than $160 million to creditors holding insurance on bonds the city issued before its finances collapsed. Those companies stand to lose most of that money. Stockton wants to pay just 17 cents for every dollar it owes. So the creditors are arguing that Stockton isn't eligible for bankruptcy because it didn't do everything it could to pay its debts. Most importantly, they argue, the city did not raise taxes or cut pension payments. City officials like Councilman Michael Tubbs disagree.
Bankruptcy is not a choice. It's an adjective. It describes what you are.
Stockton has slashed more than $90 million from its budget over the last 3 years, including laying off more than 30 firefighters. Firefighter Greg Biddle says that eats up response time. Since federal law requires two responders to wait outside of burning buildings whenever a pair of firefighters go inside. Right now, there are only three people on each engine.
Now, with three, you have to, if it's not a known rescue, then you have to wait until the second engine gets there so that you have the two people out.
Stockton declared bankruptcy last summer. Later this morning, a federal judge is expected to decide whether the move was valid. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
There was a time European mapmakers believed California was an island. The misconception began in 1510 with a Spanish novel by García Rodríguez de Montalvo. He set imaginations afire with a book that became an international bestseller.
I tell you that on the right-hand side of the Indies there was an island called California, which was very close to the region of the earthly paradise. This island was inhabited by black women. And there were no males among them at all, for their lifestyle was similar to that of the Amazons.
Now at Stanford University, there's a collection of about 800 maps from the 17th century that feature this curious coda in history. The guy who collected those maps is Glenn McLaughlin.
This map is the most dramatic depiction of California as an island. It was done in 1666 by a fellow named Peter Hoos, a Dutch cartographer. It looks like almost like a big orange carrot, complete fiction. The Spanish government found funds to create an expedition in 1603, an expedition up the coast and got up to about Point Arena in the Mendocino area and then came back. But we fog up in the summer. One of the reasons that California was thought to be an island, there were no big rivers draining the landform. They thought this was just an island. There's a few little creeks or small rivers. Well, the problem was the river was obscured by the fog because you had to go through the Golden Gate and you've got two large rivers, Sacramento and the San Joaquin River, that drain into the bay, but no way did they know that or see it. And this map shows 314 locations that had been established as missions, and they go as far north as present-day Tucson, and he has the Colorado River coming out here, clearly marked. There was doubts early on whether or not California was really an island as the Spanish started exploring, particularly in the Sonora Desert. There was a fellow named Father Kino, who was a Jesuit priest, was actually stationed over in Loreto, which is on the east coast of Baja California. He finally crossed the area down in Imperial County by San Diego and got up the highest hill he could find and looked across and saw the Pacific Ocean and said, "We're not an island."
So it seems very much a function of the fact that the Spanish explorers were starting from the south and from Baja California that they labored under the illusion for many, many years that the rest of California continued in the same vein until they finally spent enough time far enough north to understand what was actually happening.
I guess absolutely correct. Yeah. People wanted to believe. They wanted to go to this place. And particularly the young sailors, they were lonely for their girlfriends, and it was gold and silver and precious metals, and they didn't have to work, and there's abundance of food. This is heaven.
What do you make of the vast gulf between what people imagined California would be and what the sailors found when they got here?
Well, I think sailors are very disappointed. They had no girlfriends welcoming them to port, unlike modern-day San Francisco. So
no gold-covered Amazonians like we have now.
That's right. That's right. Oh, this is the fair, and it's 1700. This is the first map he drew. The Jesuits each year were required to provide an annual report on their activities for their assigned territory. And he wrote a letter and had a map, drew a map. It wasn't published until 1705, which is sort of a normal delay. No one believed him. A London cartographer, very prominent, said he'd had ships' captains in his office and sailed completely around the island. Once again, a fabrication. Finally, in 1749, King Ferdinand in Spain declared it not an island.
And what convinced King Ferdinand?
Oh, preponderance of evidence.
So after the initial excitement, surprise, novelty of the first map that you picked up, what is it that kept you going all of these years, collecting map after map?
Well, I'm sort of a collector at heart. I have 2-3 collections. This is the most extensive one by a long, long way. Widest, broadest, deepest collection probably anywhere in the world that we know about on this subject. And I really wanted to stay together. And Stanford came to me and said, we can keep this together for you. Let's see how we can make it happen.
That was Glenn McLaughlin, whose maps are now housed at Stanford's Branner Earth Sciences Library. The maps are being scanned, and they should be available online later this spring. In the meantime, you can see a couple of them on our website. Look for the link at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Monday, April 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.